Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Hale, and I am here again with Karen Frazier. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio, and we are the voice of Paranormal Underground Magazine. Hey, Karen, how are you?
I am very well, thank you. How about you?
Not too bad. I'm just glad that we finally were able to, you know, get over the technical difficulties that we were having, and, you know, we just wanted to say thank you, Stacy. You are a
thank
goddess.
Thank you. You rock. That's right.
Thank
you. Stacy with Morning Coffee, so... Yes, and I noticed that you have a new thing, a new introductory thing that you just said, the Voice of Paranormal Underground
Magazine. The Voice of Paranormal Underground Magazine, yes. Well, I mean, technically, isn't that kind of what we are, though?
Yes, it's exactly.
Yes.
We're better off as the voices than the faces. I got a face made for radio, Rick.
Well, actually, I'm not a bad-looking guy.
You keep telling yourself that.
Just ask the missus.
That's right. Just ask the missus. So, Cheryl wanted us to mention really quickly before we go to the guest that the February issue of Paranormal Underground Magazine is up. Cheryl, you want to pop on really quickly and give a quick rundown?
Yeah, thanks. I know this one came a little bit later in the month, but I'm hoping everybody can check it out. It's at paranormalunderground.net, and we have some great coverage this issue. Well, we always do, don't we, Karen?
We always do. That's right.
This month, real quick, we have on the cover Phil Summers. He's known as the Ghost Box Kid, and you probably heard him here on Paranormal Underground Radio lately. And he is with... TGAF, and that is, let me get this acronym right, the Great, okay, I've already lost it.
The Great American Phenomena
Hunt,
right?
Hunt?
I think so.
Yes.
But it's, anyway, I do know the website address is tgaph.tv, so people can check that out. Anyway, we also have a special report, which is really cool. It's on haunted toys, and in particular, it talks about the haunted Annabelle Raggedy Ann doll. And that case was investigated by the Warrens. So it's a really interesting case. People should check that out. Ryan Tackett, an investigator from PICT in Texas, wrote about his investigation of the Trinity Institute. And we have a really interesting story. It's the Ghost Hunter case files this month on the Moore family haunting. And Joseph Gallant from Proof Paranormal wrote about a very traumatic investigation and subsequent banishing where he was actually attacked and suffered some severe scratches from what was a demon.
In the magazine.
And there were some, he actually required, I think he said, more than 40 stitches after the incident. So
holy cow.
Just really? a crazy case. So people should read that. We have Rob St. Helens' ongoing column about tales from the Haunted Heathman Hotel, where he works. And then we have Rob Demarest, who was formerly the team lead on Ghost Hunters International. He wrote a review of David M. Roundtree's new book called Paranormal Technology. So you should check that out. Also, one more thing. We have two more things. We have an author update or an author spotlight on Frank Joseph, who wrote Unearthing Ancient America, The Last Sagas of Conquerors, Castaways, and Scoundrels. Do you recommend it then?
I totally recommend it.
Yeah. Also, don't miss our cryptid story. It's really good this month. It's called Tessie the Lake Monster. People should check that out. So I'll let it go.
Yeah, I have a lake monster question later coming up in the lightning round at the end of the show.
Good timing.
Yeah, very timely.
Yeah. So people check that out. It's on paranormalunderground.net. It's free registration, so you can read it all for free.
That's right. And it's also a very special day today.
It is.
Because Cheryl's baby has turned 21, but than taking her 21st birthday to sit and listen to us on the radio, she's gone off to Vegas, the faithless little.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Thanks, Crystal. Happy
birthday. Happy birthday,
you know,
Crystal.
What?
Don't
you
do anything
Crystal
I would
happy
do.
Happy birthday, and I'd do the same thing.
I would, too. Heck, I'd go to Vegas even if I had to be on the air. Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
I might stay in Vegas.
You know, I've never been to Vegas, but I really hate it when people are like, "It's Vegas, baby." It's like, yes, we know. Stop being so douchey.
I have never been to Vegas either. I drove through Reno once. I've stepped foot in a casino once and was just a little too much for me. So
yeah, I don't really dig on casinos either.
Oh, yeah. They hook me. That's why I got to stay away.
So you're the Vegas girl. You're the Vegas kid. Like Ghost Box kid, Cheryl is the Vegas kid.
Yeah, it's only about 3.5 hours from here, so I can make it, you know. Well, if I drive fast, it's 3.5 hours.
But, well, you're going to Vegas, baby. You better drive fast, huh? Yeah. Hey, we don't have a lot of time to chit-chat just because we're already late for our guest.
Oh, no.
So, Rick, I know you had something you wanted to talk about, but can we talk about it a little later, like maybe... Right, the lightning round or something?
About the first book I ever took out of the library on the paranormal, and I actually saw it. But yeah, we'll talk about it later.
I was going to say, spoiler alert, don't give it away. That was a tease. That was supposed to be a tease.
That was a tease, yes.
That's right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a really, really quick break, and we promise that we'll not drop off the air in the meantime. I can't promise that. We hope that we won't drop off the air in the meantime, but we'll be back, and we'll be talking to Dave Galvin of the Paranormal League of America. And so stick around. We'll be right back on Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Radio Network. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground on radio, on Z-Talk Radio. I'm Karen, and with me as always, well, with me as most of the time, Rick.
Hello.
Rick Hale.
Everybody knows me.
Yeah, well, everybody knows your name. You're like Norman Cheers.
It's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Oh, exactly. That's one of my... Isn't that one of Norm's lines?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite lines from Cheers. Sorry. I'm having like old people brain farts today. I have no idea why. Must be the snow. We have a little bit of snow here, and I understand that our guest got a little snow down in Portland as well. So let me introduce him so that he and I can compare notes about, you know, our pathetically sad Pacific Northwest snow. So our guest tonight is Dave Galvin, who is a member and, I believe, the founder and leader of Paranormal League of America. I had the pleasure of meeting Dave.
Hold on a second. Now, Dave, the Paranormal League of America, are you guys any relation to the Justice League of America?
Yeah. We're actually distant cousins.
Meanwhile, back at the haunted house, Dave Galvin.
That's right. I actually had the pleasure of meeting Dave. It was last year, around this time, a little later than this, wasn't it, Dave? Down at the the Something Ghost Conference. Help me, Dave.
It was April of last year, April of 2010, at the Mount Hood Ghost Conference.
Mount Hood Ghost Conference, that's right. And Dave and I sat on a panel together and shared our most excellent paranormal experiences, and we had a really good time. So, welcome, Dave. Yeah, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio.
Yes, welcome, Dave. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, guys. It's been an honor to be on the show today, because I know everyone in the field always talks about this show, so it's an honor to actually be here today.
Really?
Everyone. I'm so excited about that.
Wow.
We're getting more. See, Rick, you're right. We're catching up to the Tijuana Donkey Show.
Yeah, Cheryl, Karen said it this week, not me.
I just put a check mark by her name. You're okay, Rick.
Who has more check marks by their name right now?
Rick.
El Boro, we are coming for you soon.
Hey, but it's not about us. It's about Dave Galvin. So, Dave, tell us a little bit about the Paranormal League of America and your distant cousins, the Justice League of America.
Meanwhile.
Well, very simply, we're simply a group based out of Portland, Oregon. We travel across the state of Oregon and Washington and, you know, pretty much wherever we can. And, you know, we help people with their hauntings. So they call up or they email me and they say, hey, look, I've got some problems. Can you help me out here? And we say, sure, that's what we're here for. And we help them with their little ghost problem. We find out if there's something there, and then we're actually quite good at actually helping people get rid of what's there. So
you are. So how
that's good.
How do you do that?
Well, actually, I kind of leave that mostly to Zoe, who's actually a very powerful sensitive that works with our group, and she actually can talk with them and speak with them and all that good stuff, and she's actually able to sort of convince them to go to the other side. Or sometimes they're just simply lost, you know, they can't really go anywhere, you know, they don't realize what's going on, and she's able to actually get them to the other side where they're a little bit more, obviously a bit more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
than hanging out at Uncle Bill's garage.
Sure. So yeah. Do you mostly do private homes then?
I beg your pardon?
Do you mostly do private homes?
Oh, we do mostly. That's most of the calls that we get are actually private residences. And we don't get a lot of businesses, but that happens from time to time. Occasionally you get your occasional bed and breakfast the occasional restaurants or whatever, where they're like, hey, wait a minute, what the heck is going on here? Things are moving and flying off the shelf.
Now, you said that you guys, you know, you have a very good sensitive. And when it comes to that, I'm a very old-fashioned kind of investigator and researcher. I still believe in using mediums. And but on your website, you say that you don't really use people with who claim to be mediums. Was there something that changed your mind concerning that?
Yeah, I actually, what changed my mind very simply was I ended up meeting a very good one.
Mm-hmm.
When we first formed, and mind you, the information on the website might be a tad bit dated, because I'm not very good at updating that sort of thing. I met a very good person who's sensitive in the field, a lot of times I generally don't believe people when they tell me that they're sensitive, and that's not.
No, neither do I.
Yeah, maybe I'm just overly cynical, but how many times have we met people who say, "Yeah, I'm sensitive. Yeah, yay!" Yeah. And it turned out that they're about as sensitive as nothing. I mean,
nothing.
maybe once in a blue moon. But I met someone who actually was quite good at it. Someone who's been actually doing this longer than I have. Zoe's actually been doing this decades longer than I have, and she's just never really done it in an organized fashion like an actual group like this. So,
right.
The first time she and I went out, she kind of came and helped me out of this house where the people were reporting some weird phenomenon. A little kid was acting strange, and they were, they did some things that were just strange anyway. They happened to put the young man's bed right in the spot where his uncle had hung himself like 6 years prior.
Wow.
And I'm like, what are you thinking? What are you doing? So I bring her along, and we go upstairs, and she's talking to the ghost in the corner. And I'm like, okay, I hope she's not pulling my leg. And of course, I'm running my audio at the exact same time. And I'm getting EVPs that are actually responding to her, like she's having a conversation.
And outstanding.
I'm like, wow, that's really trippy.
Yeah.
And so at that point, once I believed that she's what she says she is, she said, hey, my daughter's pretty strong sensitive too. Even though she joins us, so we sat and talked, and she definitely is, and so she joined up. And
I met them, didn't I? I just realized
you
I met
sure
them.
Duh. Yeah, the entire PLA was there at the conference. Yeah.
I met you all. That's right. Okay, go on. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. I something apparently fired off in my wee little brain. Sorry.
Well, I also ended up meeting a young lady named Christine and her now husband Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And Christine's actually very, very strong, although she hasn't quite realized how strong she is, and she hasn't quite fine tuned it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But also, her husband Peter is exactly the opposite. He's like me; he's not sensitive, or as my wife tells me, totally insensitive.
don't worry, I get that too.
Yeah, and he's actually very scientifically minded on everything, so it actually works out quite well. I've got him on one side of me; I got Zill on the other side. They're both spreading their theories off, and I'm able to actually, try to make an actual conscious decision as to what's going on around me. So. It actually works quite well as far as working in the paranormal field is concerned, having those two opinions coinciding with each other.
Yeah.
Well, there really is nothing wrong with a little healthy dose of skepticism, but don't be such a skeptic that you believe nothing. You know what I'm saying? So, but don't leave your mind so open that your brain falls out.
If you believe nothing, you're not a skeptic. You're a disbeliever.
Right.
Right. So, Dave, I wanted to ask you about something, which is why I'm interviewing and you're answering, just so we all understand the format. I realized that was a really stupid thing to preface it with, so I'm sorry. Apparently, my brain is really, I say this every week, I'm brain dead tonight. No, I'm brain dead all the time, let's be honest about it. So, anyway, Dave, tell me about the Galvin-Einstein Bridge.
Oh, first off, Dave, I just want to say this. I read this theory, and it was, like, delicious to my brain. So just please go ahead.
Go!
Oh. You there?
Yeah, yep. We're here. We're waiting.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we got cut off for some strange reason. Well, the Einstein-Galvin Bridge was a thought of a theory of mine I came up with. And first off, I just want to say it's just a theory. I'm not going to sit here and say that my ego is so big that it's got to be fact, but it's just a theory. I started thinking about what we call residual hauntings, and we all look at it as though it's something that's paranormal. And I don't think there's anything paranormal about it. I think it's actually quite normal, and it's actually happening all around us, even...
Mm-hmm.
We may not be able to see it. We may not be able to hear it. I think it just happens to be going on around us at all times. But I was starting thinking to myself, what's up with these residual hauntings? Some people say that energy is able to be trapped in like rocks and stone and all that good stuff. And that always sounded really hippie mystical to me. It seemed a little out there,
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave it some thought. And it seemed to me like what it was simply what we call a time bleed. It's like a piece of time from the past is just bleeding, crossing over into our current timeline. I know it sounds very Star Trek-y, but maybe that's just how my brain works in a very, very Star Trek fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed to me like it was actually just sort of bleeding from its presence into our presence.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it some thought for a little bit, and I thought to myself, what could actually cause something like that? I mean, everything in this universe is cause and effect. Everything around us has some sort of mathematical or scientific properties around it. Even we may not understand what a mathematical equation is that causes something, at least right. not yet. But, you know, give us a while and we'll figure it out. So I gave it some thoughts, and I thought some more, and I realized the one thing that's very constant in this universe, you've got light and you've got gravity. And then obviously I don't think light's causing it, but gravity, on the other hand, is a very, obviously a very strong force to a point where you get strong enough you can actually manipulate light like a black hole could. And I sort of thought to myself, you know, Einstein's theory of general relativity, black holes, they say, can swallow up everything, including light, and it can manipulate time to a certain degree. So I thought some more, and I realized, you know, there's a lot of things that actually manipulate Earth's gravity. You know, obviously Earth is a form of giant mass, and the mass is what matters, obviously, attracted to each other, and that's how we have gravity. But you see, the Earth actually spins with a bit of a wobble to it, and I'm getting kind of out there. So, you know, since there is a bit of a wobble out there, you have a situation where one side of the globe is actually spinning a wee bit faster than the other side, so gravity could actually be slightly manipulated about that. So it seems to me that time could actually sort of bleed from its present into our present. And of course, you know, an average person would not know whether they're hearing a voice from a ghost, or whether they're hearing it from a time bleed, or whether they're being pranked. The average person isn't going to know this. They're just going to, I hear voices. What's going on? And eventually they're going to call somebody
I'm schizophrenic, you know, or a psychiatrist, you know, maybe I'm schizophrenic. Who knows?
Absolutely right. I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows at all? So it seems to me that this particular event, what we call a residual haunting, at least in most cases, maybe not necessarily all, I'm not sure. But it seems like in most cases it's not a situation where energy is trapped in a certain type of rock and it's being played out because of some sort of strange Doug Henny hippie mystical thing. and what ends up happening is we're simply having a time bleed. And like I said, I think it's very possible that this is what's happening all around us at all given times, and we're just not always able to measure it. We're not always able to experience it or capture an EVP and so forth.
Right.
That's really what the Einstein-Galvin bridge is all about. Now, in case you're wondering, yes, I am vain enough where I put my name next to Einstein.
Hell, I didn't done it.
Yeah, you know, strangely enough, I ended up getting second billing in my own theory, and I don't know how that happened.
I know, really. It should be the Galvin-Einstein bridge.
No, but Dave...
Yeah, I guess I wasn't thinking that
Dave, far. I understand second billing, trust me.
But Dave, you know, I wanted to touch a little bit more on this idea of a time bleed. Are you suggesting that it's the same as like a time slip?
Well, time slip theory? I'm not a big fan of the word time slip, but I think that's sort of going along the same theory. I think what you're dealing with is simply just a piece of time, you know, time that's already happened. Something as mundane as you and I going to get the mail or running to McDonald's or just going into the other room to start dinner, all the way to, you know, the important pieces of history that we learn about in school. All that sort of events, those are fixed points in time. In other words, they've already happened, they can't change, you and I can't change it at all, it's done.
Right.
So it's not going to, nothing can be manipulated out of that.
Right.
At the same token, the opposite is true for the future. So tomorrow, I mean, obviously I can't predict what's going to happen tomorrow outside of, you know, the stuff that I know for a fact is going to happen. The sun is going to come up at X amount of time. The moon is going to be in a certain phase. But as far as anything else, I mean, I can't even guarantee what route I'm going to be going home tomorrow from work. Just because of the weather. I mean, I have no idea. So I think what happens is when you get certain situations where time, for whatever reason, it just happens to be sort of bleeding through, to mm-hmm. another certain point in time, for example, which happens to be our current future. Now, I know this is starting to get kind of weird. So you've got that specific moment's present, which is bleeding through our time frame into our future. It'll be bleeding all the way through there, sort of bridging from point A to point B, and all of us, we're stuck in the middle. And that's mm-hmm. where we're sort of getting these strange experiences, or at least experiences that we're able to measure. I mean, if it's going on around us, for example, and we're not able to measure it, then, you know, who cares? It's not annoying anybody. But if it gets to a point where it's freaking people out, then, you know, mm-hmm. hey, then obviously they're going to call someone.
Now, but one of the most famous ideas of a time slip, or, you know, with your time bleed theory, it happened in Versailles in France. I think it was back in the early 20th century with a couple teachers from Great Britain. They're on holiday visiting Versailles, and as soon as they walked into the courtyard of the palace, they found themselves transported back to the days of, you know, Louis the 18th, and, you know, they claimed that they actually held conversation with Marie Antoinette and a couple other famous people from that era. Do you think that is just like one of your time bleeds on a huge, massive level?
Were they, and I'm somewhat familiar with the story, but forgive me, I'm sort of half drawing a blank. Did they say they actually conversed with Marie Antoinette?
Yeah, they said they actually conversed with Marie Antoinette and a couple other people of, historical significance.
Well, I think that might be a little bit more dramatic than a simple, time bleed. To me, a time bleed is what we would consider to be a residual haunting, you know, something that we're able to see, but they're not actually able to see us. You know,
right.
The past is sort of bleeding into ours, and we're not able to actually interact with anything.
Mm-hmm.
They may have actually, if the story is true, because, who's to say it is or isn't.
Right.
But if the story is true, it's very possible you're starting to delve into sort of some string theory here about maybe they accidentally slipped through a wormhole and they ended up actually going back into time, and
mm-hmm.
and then eventually time corrected itself and they ended up back to their present day. You know, who knows? That sounds like it might be a bit more overstated, like it's a little something outside of the theory that I presented.
Yeah. Well, that actually was going to be my next question. According to string theory and theoretical physics and all that, time is not linear. We actually,
right.
The 1850s could be existing just as the same it is now, but on a different, vibrational level. Do you think with this time bleed too, that, that vibration, our two vibrational levels touch and then bam, all of a sudden we have like this residual haunting?
Yeah, I think it's very possible. I think it kind of goes a little bit further than that. I think if you've got, let's say, two time periods that are both vibrating and they touch, and then another time period touches that other one and so forth, that sort of causes the bridge. Kind of like a tuning fork. If it's touching another tuning fork, that touches another tuning fork, that touches another tuning fork, Eventually it weakens up a little bit. And it doesn't get quite as, strong as the one that's next to the original vibration. I sort of think, like ripples in a pond, for example.
Hmm.
I think
right.
that's more than likely what it is. I think it's just eventually it slowly dissipates, and then, life goes back to normal, and hopefully you don't hear the strange voices coming from the closet that you did, 2 years ago.
Right.
So what I find interesting is that what you're talking about, there actually are some theories in quantum physics, not even theories, but I think it's been shown experimentally that time doesn't just move forward, it also moves backwards at the same time. But what you're talking about is actually closer to a Hindu concept of time, where time is a circle and the center remains unmoving, but everything else moves around the center of the circle, and so things can pass through the circle. That's actually a Hindu concept. So does that sound similar to what you're talking about?
No, it's somewhat similar, I think. I mean, really, I've always thought that we're all talking about the same coin, maybe just different parts of the coin. Who's to say? A lot of these theories sort of brush it upon each other, but it's hard to say, obviously, how you can prove which one is right and which one's not.
That's right. Well, I do know that in March the March issue of Paranormal Underground magazine that we will be running the Galvin Einstein Bridge article.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. That is written by Dave Galvin himself. So hopefully you guys can read that in March and get an even better idea of what you're talking about. I think it's certainly an interesting theory, and I like to watch how other people's brains meander because it makes me feel like less of a freak when I see other people's brains meander in similar ways as mine. Not that you're a freak, Dave.
No.
Yes, you know, I'm used to people pointing and laughing at me. But I just want to say that after this theory runs, I'm going to be packing my bags for Oslo so I can go pick up my Nobel Prize.
Okay, awesome. I'll be cheering you on. So we had a question in the chat room, and I'm trying to get back to it, but everybody keeps talking in the chat room, so it makes it really hard. But somebody, Hometown Paranormal, was asking you, Dave. They said, our group has had contact from an elderly woman in her 80s. She's a widow who lives alone in the same house and has been for 50 years. And she claims that she got her back scratched. And he wants to know, or he or she, I'm not sure, wants to know how you would handle that.
How I would personally handle that? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, obviously every group's going to do things a wee bit different. But how I would personally handle that is, I know this almost half sounds like cheating, but I show up to client's house. I bring Zoe and her daughter Alana, and we kind of do a walkthrough together real quickly. Just sort of go from room to room. I see if they find anything, and we sort of come to a consensus about whether or not we're actually able to actually assist these people. Usually we are, and normally Zoe's so good, it's actually cost us some cases because she's actually able to get rid of something that's just like that and it's pretty much done and, you know, we're going home. Which is very melodramatic. It's like, yeah, you're so good. You are so good at what you do that we actually don't have to investigate. But obviously, you know, not every group has a sensor that's able to do that. So, you know, if you're dealing with a situation where a woman is getting scratched in her back, it's possible it might not be something that's malevolent. It might be something that's just simply trying to get her attention.
Exactly.
So I definitely would, you really need to sort of, hold her hand so that she doesn't freak out, but at the same time try to keep her, mentally focused on the fact that, whatever is going on around her, she needs to sort of make a list, and the best thing to do is to give people a piece of paper and a pencil and say, every time something happens that you might think is paranormal, write it down, the date, the time, and all that good stuff. We're going to investigate, and we're going to do whatever we can to help you with this. Once you investigate and you get your evidence, then you need to figure out whether you think whatever is there is there to cause you harm, or if it's just being mischievous, or if it's just simply something to say, hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And then, if it's what I call an earthbound spirit, which is, that's just my jargon, that's nobody else's, just a regular mm-hmm. basic intelligent haunt, then you need to be able to convince this thing it needs to move on, okay? So, of course, there's a few ways you can actually do that. There's just simply talking to it, or you find someone who is sensitive, and they will actually assist you in getting rid of that, too, so... That's sort of how I would deal with it. I'm kind of rambling. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, that's quite all right. Have you guys ever used, saged a property? I find that does work.
No, I never have personally. I know Zoe uses holy water when it's appropriate, but we've never actually saged anything.
Okay.
So, Dave, I wanted to talk to you about if somebody was in the Portland, Oregon region and they wanted to visit some haunted places. I know that you've spent some time in some of those places, and so I thought it would be nice if you could share some of the Portland haunts, some of the more notorious Portland area haunts.
Okay, so there's actually a few areas, there's few places here in the Portland area that I would recommend if you wanted to simply check out the haunted areas. One of the best places, as I actually have it in my book, I wrote an article, I think it was in this month's issue of The Underground, about the seven haunted wonders of the world, I think it is.
Yes, last month,
The Shanghai Tunnels, I actually put that on the list because I don't think it ever gets any love when it comes to all the national shows. So you never really hear about it like you do the Winchester House and such. But the Shanghai Tunnels is a wonderful place to actually go to. The guy who actually runs those tours is always telling me stories about, hey, last night I was talking with 7 volunteers who were going to go down and start cleaning this area, and we go down to the area, and we were actually talking, and next thing I know, there's 5 volunteers, and I'm like, what happened to the other 2 guys? And they said, what other 2 guys? There's only the 5 of us the whole time.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And so I'm always hearing stories like that from him. There's a beautiful hotel out on the Oregon coast called the Old Wheeler Hotel. And that place actually used to have a doctor's office in the basement from about 1930 until about 1980, 81, 82-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And we've investigated there a couple of times, and we've gotten some amazing EVPs there. Actually, I think I emailed some of them to you not too long ago.
Yeah, we're going to play some of them tonight. So, hey, Dave, is that like a yellow building? Is the Old Wheeler Inn like on the way down to Rockaway Beach? Is that where that is?
That is exactly right. The building. It's beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, I drive past that all the time when we take our son down to a camp in the summer in Rockaway Beach. So maybe I'll have to stop and check it out. Do they have a restaurant or something? Or
they do, and forgive me, I don't know it off the top of my head. I think it's oldwheelerhotel.com.
Okay.
I'll tell you, even if you're not interested in ghosts, that's a beautiful place to stay. Because, I mean, the building is like dates back to the 1930s, and you know, the building is just, it just feels that old school feel to it that you have to. And Wheeler is a town of about 300 people. So what you're looking at is a very small little town where everything shuts down at 8 o'clock and it's relaxing and, you know, it's a little bed and bread. A beautiful, beautiful building.
Well, I'll have to, because, you know, maybe that's what we'll do this year when we have to be down at camp to pick him up really early, so maybe my husband will go spend a night there before we go get the boy from camp.
Hey, Karen, you don't even really need you kind of really don't even need to go in and, you know, use a restaurant or go in the restaurant. Just say, hey, you know, I kind of got to use the bathroom.
That's right.
You know, just start wandering around. That's what I've done.
Very good. Okay, so Dave, any other places in the Portland area that you think people wouldn't want to miss?
There's just so many. Portland is actually, you know, fairly well known as a fairly haunted city. I think it was actually one of the travel magazines actually rated it number 9 out of the top 10 cities in America for being haunted. But there's a few places that are actually owned by a company up here called McMinniman's, which is a microbrewery.
Yeah.
And what the places around here, the place called Edgefield, which was originally a place where they basically put poor people during the Depression. It eventually became an old folks home, and now it's a restaurant / hotel. Actually, a good friend of mine got married there a few years ago.
Oh, it's a neat property,
It is. It's a beautiful property, and again, talk about relaxing, because you're just around all these trees.
And 12 bars.
And a lot of beer, right, yeah.
Well, it has on the property, Rick, it has 12 bars.
So all you have to do is
go stay in the hotel and then stumble from bar to bar. You don't have to drive anywhere. I mean, what could be better?
Well, I know.
And
I know
the thing is, if you get drunk enough, you'll definitely be seeing ghosts anyway.
That's right.
Well, here in Chicago, we have like the haunted pub crawls that you can go on. And I've never actually been on one, but I know people who have, and they say that they're great. You just go and you hang out with people of like minded. You drink, eat. If you happen to see something, awesome. You know, if not, you still had a good time.
That's right. So, Dave, have you done any investigation at any of the McMenamins places?
No, I personally have not. The people, the McMenamin brothers who actually own it, are not generally very ghost hunter friendly. In other words, they'll let you hunt ghosts there as long as you're paying full price for everything.
Right.
So it's not like they're friendly, give you a discount if you bring a group of, you know, X amount of people because you're ghost hunters, and get some free publicity. If you want to pay $200 for the room for the night, hey, definitely, sure. Go ahead and do whatever you want.
That's right.
But the history of the place is absolutely amazing. One other last place I do want to mention is there's actually a property out in it's off Highway 26, actually on your way to Welch's. I'm not sure if you had a chance to be there this last Ghost Conference. It's the place where they have the investigation at the Ghost Conference.
No, I missed it.
I'm a big history nut.
Mm-hmm,
and this property was absolutely just an amazing piece of property. I call it the Haunted Village on the Oregon Trail.
Right.
And it is, I mean, when I say that, I mean, literally, when you pull your car up, you are standing on the Oregon Trail. I mean, it's no exaggeration. That's where they've got all these old covered wagons, you know, that they've restored, that they found on the property that people had abandoned when they got over here because they were broken. Mm-hmm. And eventually it was turned into a lumber camp. And there's four or five original buildings still standing from the original lumber camp. And what's there, it has amazing activity to it. We actually had the pleasure of investigating there. We were filming a web pilot for a web series that ended up not getting picked up. And we got some just amazing footage and some just amazing EVPs there.
Wow.
And it was just the history of the place, too, was just a lot of fun, too. So it was cool. Just an amazing, fun place, yes.
So,
very
cool. Dave, we're going to take a break here in about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back for a little bit more conversation with you. But I wanted you, before we went to break, to talk a little bit about your book, because, of course, I have read your book. And yes. So you were kind enough to give me one. So could you talk about your book a little bit?
Well, my book is it's Paranormal League of America Presents, Researching mm-hmm. America's Haunted Locations, A Paranormal History. Yes, I know it's a bit of a mouthful, but if you go to Amazon and just type in Paranormal League of America, you'll actually bring it right up. And basically, in a nutshell, what it is it's a history book. You know, every Halloween, every magazine and every newspaper under the sun comes up with a list of America's top 10 haunted locations. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us in the field, we kind of look at this list and we kind of snicker because a lot of them are kind of tourist traps.
Snicker. I laugh hysterically, Dave, at some of those lists. They are so wrong. Yeah. But please proceed.
No, I mean you're absolutely right. I mean some of them I don't doubt have activity. So I'll go ahead and just pull one out of thin air here. The Winchester Mystery House in California. I've been there a few times myself, and I don't doubt that there's activity. But I wouldn't put it on the most haunted location of America personally.
Yeah. No.
You know, I think we've all investigated more haunted locations than that are you know, just less known because it's not in a major city in California.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what I did is I took the locations one by one. I took 20 famous haunted locations, and I sort of wrote a history about them. You have the official history that's, you know, part of the history books, as well as some of the more anecdotal kind of history that may not necessarily be, you know, have a paper trail to it. And so you have the hard history, as I call it, and then you have the ghost history, the paranormal history, where mm-hmm. you know, people talk about their experiences and such. And then at the very end of the chapter, I talk about, because I obviously haven't been to every single location in the book, but I talk about, you know, what this a person's experience was, because I would correspond with people across America about what their experiences were at the property, you know, for those properties that you could actually get into. Like, obviously, some places like the White House, you know, you and I are not going to be able to get in there to hunt ghosts. I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But some places like Alcatraz, some people like, some places like St. Augustine's Lighthouse and so forth. A lot of people I know have actually gone into these places and have actually had some sort of experience. So I sit down and I actually rate what are the chances if you were to go in there right now and actually investigate of you actually getting some good evidence. And so that's basically what it is. It's a history book with a little bit of paranormal thrown in, and, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's you learn something, and, you know, you've got the whole ghost tie in as well.
Very cool. Good. Okay, and I put the link in the chat room if anybody wants to go check that out, purchase the book. Well, I'm sure Dave would be happy to have people buy his book. It's on Amazon.com. And say the title one more time because it's too many words for me.
I'm sorry. Paranormal League of America Presents, Researching America's Haunted Locations, A Paranormal History.
There you go, and the link's in the chat room. Hey, Dave, you'll stick around for a few more minutes. We're going to go to break, and after break, can we talk a little more?
Of course.
Okay, so we will be back after this break. You're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio, and we will be back with Dave Galvin in just a minute.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com. Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio. This is Rick, and I'm here with Karen. We are the voice of ParanormalUnderground.magazine.net. And tonight we're here with Dave Galvin of the Paranormal League of America. Meanwhile, back at... I'm sorry, Dave, she's joking.
Well, you know, want to know something funny about that? When I pulled up Amazon.com and Dave said, just search for Paranormal League of America. And so I did that. And at the top was Dave's book, and then underneath were several Justice League of America books.
Oh. So, Dave, what I understand now is that you have got some EVPs for, you know, us and our listeners to listen to, and I'm a total EVP guy, so.
Oh, yeah, me too. I love them. I love them. And I'll tell you, the thing about EVPs is they're very simple to get. You just got a recorder going on, and I find the more exciting EVPs, at least for me, are the ones that you happen to capture when you're not even trying, the ones
yes.
that are just responding
right.
to. You as you're standing there picking your nose or something so mundane.
Or whenever they talk over
EVP
you, yes.
Session,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and whenever I do an EVP session, I never get anything exciting at all. That's why I always run audio from the time I walk into a place and the time I leave. But
right.
I'm an EVP nut myself, and I selected a few of my favorites. And I'm going to, I went ahead and sent them in, and we're going to discuss them now. We're going to play them for everybody.
That's right. Excellent. So, Cheryl, you want to turn your mic back on because you are in
yes.
control of the EVPs.
Awesome. All right.
I know.
So this, we're just going to play them first, and then we'll let Dave tell you what they're about, what happened, the circumstances under which they were, during which they were captured. So let's start off with the first one. And these files are pretty quick. So I'm going to actually turn up the volume on the player so that maybe they can come across a little bit better. And here we go.
Oh, I heard something.
I heard something.
I heard like a mechanical voice going.
Do you want me to play it one more time before Dave?
I'm not sure what that was.
Play it one more time. Yes.
One more time. Because this one I'm going to have to give away. Okay, here we go.
What's
that,
it say, Sharon?
That one is saying, I love you.
Okay.
So,
Dave,
when did that happen?
That's a very fun one. Forgive me, I can't actually hear them like the listeners at home can, but the one that says, I love you, is a very fascinating one because that was actually captured at the Haunted Village on the Oregon Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually had entered the building that was known as the mess hall. That's where all the lumberjacks would literally eat. And we walk in there, we capture that EVP, and within minutes, Christine, the young lady in the group who's very sensitive, who's married to the guy who doesn't even really believe in ghosts, she ends up getting possessed by something that controls her. She walks over to another side of the table, she says something, and she passes out. And we later found out within just a couple of hours, we were able to deduce it always affected her anytime anyone touched these antique replica firearms that were on the table. Whatever was there did not want us touching it to a point where it actually controlled her and made her pass out. Every single time somebody did that, every time somebody kind of messed around with them, touched them, picked them up, or whatever, she started getting this funny feeling like it was starting all over again. So it's a very fascinating story, very fascinating case, and it's a really cool EVP, I think. I mean, how often does a ghost tell anyone they love them? I mean, usually they're throwing something at us.
So let's listen to it now that the cat's out of the bag and see if we can pick it out.
Okay, let me get it back on. Sorry. Here we go.
I definitely hear something, but I don't hear I love you, but that's just
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Dave, where would you classify that as, A, B, or C?
Well, you know, it's a wee bit different when you're, you know, you've got it on your computer and you're listening to it versus, you know, over the air like this. I would probably put it in a, I don't know, maybe a B-plus category. That's just my personal.
Okay. So, Dave, do you filter those, or is that raw audio?
No, that's been run through, Coolit, and
okay.
I did some amplified up a bit because you know you listen to it and you're like, hey, wait a minute, I think there's something there. You amplify it. Oh no, that's nothing.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And, oh hey, check it out. There's something
okay.
there.
Okay. So let's move on to the next one, Cheryl.
Why?
That's what it sounded like. It said it sounded like somebody going, "Why?"
That is what it. The file said. It said male voice. Click then male voice. Why?
Can we hear it again, Cheryl?
Yes, let me play it real quick before Dave describes it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got that.
So, Dave, where was that captured?
That was captured at the Old Wheeler Hotel in Wheeler, Oregon. The basement, as I mentioned before, was actually used to be a doctor's office. And according to Zoe, there was in the corner of the basement, there was what used to be the X-ray room. It's really a kind of a cool room. There's a tiny little metal door kind of built into the wall to the room that was next to it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they would literally put the x-ray film in the examining room. It still says General Electric, built in 1930, whatever the heck. It was really kind of cool. But according to Zoe, there was the spirit of an old x-ray technician that just didn't want to go, that was still sitting right there. And mm-hmm. when we captured the why, it was one of those instances where we captured EVP. And I actually, strangely enough, got this on two recorders that I was running three in that room at that time. And we captured that voice on two recorders, but that was the best sounding one. She was talking to him. And this was an instance where we actually got a response that sounded like they were conversing with each other, because just before he said why, she turns and said, okay, you know what? Your time is over. You need to leave. And him saying why was the response.
Outstanding.
And it was so trippy when I actually got that on the recorder. I was like, wow, this is so cool. This is just so cool.
Yeah, I love it when, you know, when you can have science back up the mystical. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
or
yeah.
The metaphysical, oh, yeah. It's the best.
I just like voices that sound definitely. Like the cookie. I like the Cookie Monster EVPs.
Why?
I could be the lead singer for Korn. That's all I'm saying. Okay, next EVP.
Okay, let me load up the next one. Here we go.
Say, do that one again.
Yeah.
Because I heard jingle bells.
Mm. Here, well, let me do it one more time.
I hear knocking and then somebody saying, like, where are you going?
This one actually says, please go back. Or it mm-hmm. sounds like, please go back. So Dave
well, see,
can
we
tell
both
us.
Got go out of that.
Yeah.
Do you want me to play?
Dave,
go ahead.
I don't remember sending you one that says, please go back. So you have to forgive me, my mind's a bit of a blank.
This right. one says, hard to hear, sounds like, please go back.
I don't remember sending that one, so forgive me.
Okay, okay.
I'm not sure where that came from, so I know I look really stupid right now, but I can't
No, that's okay.
Oh, you see, Dave, I would have totally made up a story to go with that. I was just about to step out in the street when a car came racing by, and the voice said, okay, anyway, just next... Let's move on to the next one. Then. Whoa, say that. Do that one again. That
okay.
sounded like Cookie Monster again. I have RC Cola.
That's a freaky voice. I just have to say that one freaks me out.
It's the Korn lead singer.
It sounds like okay, be cool.
What is it, Dave? Do you know?
You know, I'm not sure exactly what it's saying, but that specific one was, that's a male voice, it sounds to me like. We were doing a case a couple of years back in North Portland at a private residence, and we were up in the attic, and there were different members of the PLA at the time, and the guy I was in that room with turned to me and said, you know, I thought I just saw something out of the corner of my eye, kind of over there in that part of the room, and I said, well, I'll go over there and grab a flashlight and kind of check it out, and as I'm walking over there, we capture that EVP that you just heard. Hmm. And it's really trippy. It almost sounds like it's speaking Klingon to me.
Yeah, can we listen to this one more time? I want you all to listen and see if you hear the RC Cola statement in here, because I think it's an ad.
It really sounds like a foreign language to me, but I don't
know. It's an ad from the other side.
Here
Let's
we
play
go.
It. I want RC Cola.
I hear all right, be cool.
I hear,
so there
I
you
hear
go.
Klingon
There's a couple interpretations for you, Dave.
Most people don't know this, but I snuck in some product placement right there. Yeah.
There you go. Way to go. Your sponsors are giving each other high fives right now.
So the PLA PLA has sponsors, Dave?
No, I'm just kidding.
Meanwhile, the Paranormal League of America was drinking RC Cola with Cookie Monster.
Meanwhile, during listening to EVPs.
Oh, so, okay. Let's listen to the RC Cola one more time, because I like it.
All right, let's do it.
Have RC Cola.
Now, that's all I hear. Thanks a lot, Karen.
What, Cheryl?
That's all I hear now. is have some RC Cola.
You're welcome.
I'm kind of thirsty all of a sudden.
Oh, really? I'm parched. So do we have more?
We do. We have 4 more.
Okay.
Awesome.
So here's the next one.
Porn.
Porn? Yeah, I heard that too.
I heard either corn or porn, which supports my previous theory.
Very close, but here. There's 4 words that you're listening for. And the last word rhymes with porn, but it's not porn. So here we let's play.
Is it corn?
No, it's not corn.
I'm still hearing either porn or corn.
Dave, wasn't that what? I think we played this on our EVP show. Isn't there some curse word there at the end?
I'm sorry. One second. I was kind of. My daughter decided she wanted my attention. So what's happening in this one here is I was actually doing some cemetery walking. And there's an old pioneer cemetery here in the town that I live in, and I was just kind of just walking around. I was with a buddy of mine. We were just kind of doing some lighthearted, you know, cemetery walking. You know, nothing serious. So whenever I do something like this, I have a standard set of questions I always ask. I always ask, you know, where were you born? Did you die here? You know, do you have a tombstone here? You know, and so forth and so forth. Can you tell me who the president of the United States is and all this good stuff? And when I was with my buddy, I was just joking around, and I said, hey, can you tell me who killed JFK? Because I'd really like to know. Just kind of joking around with my friend, and as soon as I asked that question, I got this EVP, okay? Now, what it sounds like to me, and it is difficult because you're hearing a lot of traffic because it's kind of close to the street, is it sounds like the ghost or the spirit is saying, where I was born, that's JFK. That's what it sounds like it's saying to me. I'll let you guys make the decision as to what it is. But I thought that was really funny because I'm thinking to myself, my God, this ghost is a Nixon fan? Really?
let's listen to it one more time then. Oh, I did. I just heard the F word.
That is so clear to me, the whole thing, Dave. I can hear exactly what it says.
I still hear porn, and then I hear the F word, so I'm thinking that might be have been like...
Where was I born, or where I was born, or where was I born is underneath the kind of hissing. You can hear it if you really get the headphones or speakers right up close, and then FJ, FJFK.
Yeah, okay, so let's move on to the next one.
Okay. These three, or no, two are from... a location, and this first one you'll be listening for a female voice, and it was taken on a grand staircase, I believe. So here we go.
Oh yeah,
pretty. The wood is excellent.
Well, I hope it wasn't the person saying something was excellent. Is there a voice behind that person? Let's hear it again.
Pretty. The wood is excellent.
Is there a voice going behind the person saying that is excellent, Dave?
I believe so. It's hard for me to hear on my end, so I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. The one that's in the Grand Staircase was an EVP we captured literally at the Grand Staircase at the Old Wheeler Hotel. And down in the basement, there's a big Grand Staircase that leads up where the doctor's office used to be. And, I'd have to hear it to try to remember, jog my memory of the actual story of that actual EVP. There's a few left. I know that there's a couple left that were actual from the old Wheeler Hotel, just because that place is just a really cool hotspot.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly what it's saying off the top of my head. I'm sorry to say.
Cheryl, did it say what it said?
It did not. I do have one more on the Grand Staircase that does have a word being said that I can tell you about after we play it.
Okay, let's play it.
Okay.
One more time.
Oh, that one says goodbye. Yes, I can barely hear that one out. That one was really cool. We were leaving the Grand Staircase and walking to another part of the basement. There's this voice, goodbye.
Yeah, I heard that. Definitely got that.
Yeah, can I hear it again?
So that was
actually, it sounds like bye-bye.
So that was a disembodied voice, Dave, that you heard at the time?
No, we didn't hear that at all.
Okay.
None of these we actually heard with our ears.
Okay.
But still really true, because we were standing around and sort of talking, and then the owner, she said, okay, why don't we head over here and I'll show you what's over here. And as we were walking, goodbye.
That was basically cool. Yeah, so do we have one or two more? Because I know that Dave needs to go here pretty soon. What do we have?
One more. We've one got more. One more. Here we go.
Did I just hear somebody say F around?
Let's hear it again, because all I hear is like a squeaking sound that sounds like something mechanical. Let's listen again. I don't know what it says.
I hear the F word and then the word around.
What the file is labeled is, oh no, don't do this, and then something more after it.
Yeah, don't F around. Dave, what kind of DVPs are you guys capturing, man? You got a lot of people swearing at you. You jerk.
You know, that's not what I hear when I hear that one. That's another cemetery, actually in Tualatin, Oregon. It's an old pioneer cemetery. Just an old, beautiful place to go to. And I've only captured EVPs there twice. I've been going there for years. My very first EVP was actually captured there on an old cassette playing. You remember those things? An old cassette recorder? Mm-hmm. And so I'm walking around. I'm just doing my thing. And I every time I'd walk in the cemetery, I'd see the tombstones. I always read the names off the tombstones, because that way if I capture something, I have a general idea of, you know, where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And so I see the name, and I read the name, and all of a sudden I capture that EVP. What it sounded to me like was, it sounds, first of all, like it has a reverb, so it's echoing. So it sounds like it's saying, oh no, please don't do this, please, and then the rest is totally inaudible to me. I can't hear the last part of what it's saying. And all of a sudden that just sort of showed up totally out of the blue, and the second time and the last time I ever captured anything in that cemetery.
Very cool. Yeah.
Okay, so Dave, I know that you needed to go by about 7:20, so we're actually about a minute behind with that, but I wanted to give you a last opportunity. Can you give out your website and the name of your book one more time, please?
Absolutely. The name of my book is Paranormal League of America Presents, Researching America's Haunted Locations, the Paranormal History. The website is paranormalleagueofamerica.org. And you can actually, there's a link at the top of the homepage that takes you straight to a place where you can actually purchase the book. And I would like to encourage everyone out there to purchase 5 or 6 dozen copies of the book.
Exactly. Hey, I read it. It's a good book.
I'm going to run out and do that right now, Dave.
Yeah, it's a good book. It's worth 5 or 6 dozen copies. I'm not kidding.
Honey, where's the credit card?
So, Dave, thank you. Thank you very much. And I hope that I have the opportunity to see you soon.
Oh, yeah, hopefully soon. That would be fantastic. Yeah, we'll have to at least have lunch or something.
That's right. Well, you still need to come up here and go to Wellington, but, you know, that's a conversation we've had, and it'll be a conversation for another day. So, Dave Galvin from Paranormal League of America, everyone, thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you so much, Dave.
We will be back.
My pleasure.
We will be back with Mindy Kinneman, who's going to be talking about IM4. Is it IM4 or IM4th?
IM4.
So we will be back in just a couple minutes on Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Nick Redfern, and you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Rick, and I'm back with Karen. You know, when we had Nick Redfern on, that was like just one of those shows, Karen, that I thought was fantastic.
He was amazing, that's for sure. And I could have listened to him for a long time. He was a lot of fun.
Yeah, he really was. I've read most of his books, and, you know, I think he's a really talented guy, and he's a great researcher as well. Well, like I said, everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio. We wanted to talk real quick to Karen about this interesting new project that she has called Ghost Secret at ghostsecret.org. You know, why don't you tell us a little bit about it, Karen?
Well, you know, my friend Jamie Coates, who is an investigator with NWPIA, is an amazing photographer, as you were commenting before the show. And I was looking for kind of a way to bring some of Jamie's photography in, but to do it in kind of a fun, sometimes lighthearted, sometimes poignant way. And mm-hmm. So what we're doing is we started ghostsecret.org, where we use a lot of Jamie's photography. We use some of mine, and we use some Creative Commons stuff too, but none of it is as spectacular as Jamie's. Mm-hmm. And we are asking people to tell us their paranormal secrets and confessions. And so we have all sorts of interesting ones. And if you have a paranormal confession, what I would suggest is you go take a look at ghostsecret.org. You look at the confessions that some people have told us, and then you can email them to us at ghostsecret1@gmail.com, or leave a comment on the site, and we will post those anonymously unless you ask to be named.
Very cool.
Yeah, no,
it's definitely a very cool website. I mean, the photography is beautiful.
That's right. And I have to sort of give a nod to Post Secret, because that's sort of where I got the idea. And what that is people mail in really deep, dark, almost frightening secrets a lot of times to Post mm-hmm. Secret, and on the back of a postcard, and then they put the postcard online. So that's also a great site. But it's ghostsecret.org, and you'll see some of Jamie's absolutely amazing photography, and we really would like people to send us secrets. So you can email ghostsecret1@gmail.com. You can rest assured that I am the only one who sees the email, and I don't talk. So that's that. And then also, before we go to Mindy, I know that you had a story you wanted to tell.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's an amazing coincidence. But for those of our listeners who don't know, I work in a residential treatment facility with kids who have, you know, behavioral learning and emotional, you know, disorders, problems, or whatever. And it was the most amazing thing that is, it was so weird. I was waking up one of my kids on Tuesday morning. And I look down, and he has this book. He's got this library book sitting on his bed. And I'm, like, looking at it for a second, and it's, like, it was a book called Haunted Houses. I can't remember the author's name. But this was the very first book I ever took out of the library. I'm talking, like, almost 30 years ago.
Wow.
I took this book home, and it was about 2 weeks after, you know, I had my first experience with seeing a ghost in my grandparents' house on the northwest side of Chicago. And I took this book home, and I only had it for 2 weeks. I must have read that book 8 or 9 times in that 2 weeks. And that really was what solidified my interest in the paranormal, even at such a young age. And it was so weird seeing this book, and it came from like the Wheeling Public Library in Wheeling, Illinois. So as soon as it's returned, I'm going to go up there with like my checkbook, and I'm like, I want to buy this book.
Very cool.
I need this book.
Oh, so. That's kind of a cool story. I like that, Rick. So, also before we go to Mindy, just one other thing. And that's that I want to wish my husband a happy anniversary, because tomorrow night is our, 8th anniversary, I think. So happy anniversary, Jim. Hopefully we'll be able to get out of the house.
That's awesome. Have plans. Happy anniversary, guys.
Yeah, we have plans, but we'll see. Western Washington grinds to a halt when we have snow, and we totally do right now. So, yeah. Mindy.
Well, I'm not the only one with snow. It's snowing right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, ours, what happens is it dumps during the night. In the morning, it's so horrifyingly frozen because it gets really cold, and we don't have plows or things, that they cancel school, and then it melts by, like, noon, And then, so the kids have the rest. We can do stuff for the rest of the day, and then it dumps at night again. So I think we're almost out of this cycle. So, Mindy, you are going to talk about now. Is it I am four or I am number four? I am number four. So let's hear it.
Well, this is based off a book that was written by James Frey of the I Write Fake Memoirs About Myself guy.
The
Million Little Pieces guy.
Oprah's little butt buddy about 10 years ago.
Right. Until he shamed her.
Yeah.
Shamed with an M, not a V.
Okay.
That's a horrifying visual now. He had teamed up with another author, and they wrote this under a pseudonym. And it's about these aliens from another planet who are sent to Earth. Although the movie does not really give you much in the way of this background. I actually had to go online to kind of understand this because the movie just didn't do it. Mm-hmm. But it's about these aliens who are sent to Earth for some reason. You are never explained why. And these other aliens start killing them off, and they've got to kill them off in order. And so by this time, they are killing off number four, and they've killed off 1, 2, and 3 already. Okay. And it just, I've already kind of explained one of my beefs with it, in that they don't really explain a lot of,
lack of backstory is usually a plot hole.
Yeah. And then, it's not the greatest acting in the world. It's a bunch of, I made a joke, before we went on air about, it's Glee without the music and with aliens. And one of the characters is actually from Glee, so, all the Glee fans are probably going to be throwing stuff at me.
It's about Jane Lynch, too, which is really what's good about Glee.
That's the
only good thing about Glee. You know what? She's actually from the south side of Chicago.
She is awesome. Moving on. Yeah, Jane Lynch is... I love all of those movies that they do with the
Christopher Guest movies?
The Christopher Guest movies. I love her in all of those. Anyway, so moving on. Sorry. Yes. Go on, Mindy.
So, about the best thing I can say about this movie is if you like kind of the comic booky action films, you should enjoy this. I normally do like those kind of films, but for me, I really struggled because of the plot holes and because it's so generic high school teeny bopper. I'm the last of my kind and somebody's coming after me, and it's got that angstiness that you get from Twilight and stuff like that. And it's just, it's painful.
Boring.
It's not as painful as Twilight. I will say that.
So you told us something that I don't think that you've mentioned yet. How did the movie end for you, Mindy?
I have no idea.
Did you just walk out?
Yes.
I've only done that out of one movie ever, and it was when Jeremy Irons played twins.
Ooh.
Ooh, bad.
Other one I've done it for was another one I reviewed for here, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, but that's because that one made me physically sick. I got motion sickness. This just made me emotionally sick.
Okay, so I will not be wasting my money. So we were talking about some of the other movies that are coming up, and I know that you're feeling like there's sort of a dearth of good horror, paranormal, sci-fi movies right now.
Even original ideas that are developed well. I think, normally this time of year, we should have a pretty good group of good either scary or sci-fi or fantasy movies. Mm-hmm. And it's like we haven't had anything since Christmas when we had, our psychological horror in Black Swan. We had our Chronicles of Narnia and our Harry Potter. And it's like we are going to start getting some stuff, but it's like right now is usually a boom. Usually you've got your Valentine's Day movies and your anti-Valentine's let's kill people movies.
Right.
I'm all for those.
Right. Yeah. Come on now. And it's just, we've had two. I can only think of I Am Four and The Right. Last year we had Legion. We had, I can't even remember. But I think of movies that come out this time of year. My Bloody Valentine came out this time of year.
Yeah.
The Unborn and stuff like that, we've had in the past. And right now it's just, even Friday the 13th when it was remade. And just right now, what little we have is either just not very well developed, or it's catering to that younger crowd.
Yeah. Which is all well and good, but what about those of us who have been watching the horror movies since the slashers came big in the 70s and 80s? And
Richard Baker, Nightmare Maker, fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You know,
Terror Train. You bet,
Freddy.
See, you know what? I still like the classics. You know, Wolfman, Count Dracula, Frankenstein. I don't think you get any better than those.
Those are fantastic too. And you know what? I don't have a lot of those in my personal collection, but I even have like those 50 horror movies that are like B movies and
like the Pit and the Pendulum with Vincent Price.
Yes,
scariest movie ever.
Those were great.
Yeah, like I love those, and it seems here lately that if you want to see something that's a little more original, you've got to go for your independent filmmakers. Like IFC has been doing a phenomenal job of putting out films, and then Magnolia Films as well, smaller independent films, and you're getting movies out of other countries, and so you're kind of getting that, but it's not in theaters. Like, I just bought the movie Doghouse, which came out of Britain, and it's about this town that all the women in the town have been genetically tested upon, and they've become basically zombies. And they're killing all the men.
Cheryl's kind of movie. Oh, hey, Cheryl, that's a good twist.
Nice.
That's
not
good,
you know?
Seriously.
The dudes are dead.
It's hysterical. And, you know, just we need more of that, but we need it to be pushed into the theaters so that we get to enjoy them on a larger level. I miss that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I mean, we do have good stuff coming out. Like, I'm excited about the movie Paul. I'm excited about, I just forgot what we were talking about. The Matt Damon one.
The something bureau. The Adjustment Bureau,
yeah.
And there's a part of me that kind of wants to be excited for the Battle of New York, but I have a hard time with the trailer because it's half video game looking, half movie looking.
I'm not the Battle for Los Angeles?
That's what I mean, yeah. Battle for New York. I think
Does that have anything to do with the real Battle of Los Angeles that happened in 1942, where all of a sudden, you know, they started going crazy and shooting at, you know, UFOs that were flying around? Does that have anything to do with that?
I don't know if they're connected, because it's set in modern day.
I certainly hope not.
UFOs are coming from, like, it's kind of like War of the Worlds-ish, the new version with Tom Cruise, where they're here. They've been here, and they come out from the earth. And so I think that premise is neat, but the effects in the trailers aren't finished, or the effects are horrible because it looks like a video game where it's got that cartoonish look to it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm not quite sold on it. But I mean, and I won't lie, I'm excited for Scream 4.
Hey, there you go. Everybody needs a little kitsch, right?
Painful. Well,
I know, but Scream will have a place in my heart because it brought back the slasher genre in the late 90s, and I was sold. I mean, because I've been a horror girl since I was 3, and when I saw my very first movie, and I do lean more toward that. And I'm loving some of the new things. Like, I can't wait to see how Harry Potter wraps up so that my fantasy world is complete. And like, even books have been much better, I think, than films. Like, I read a book called The Magicians, which is like the adult's version of Harry Potter and Chronicles of Narnia wrapped into one.
Mm-hmm.
And I wholeheartedly recommend that book to everyone.
The Magicians,
The Magicians, and
I read a lot, so that might work for me.
Yeah, the author is Lev Grossman, and this is how good it was. I was probably a third of the way through and was like, this book's going to have a sequel, right? And then flipped to the back where it says, you know, coming summer 2011, the sequel, and it's like, fantastic. I mean, that's
cool.
With things like that, I think there's some promise, especially, you know, if they can adapt them into films. But I'm sick of the pandering to the high school kids, and I want new and original content.
Yeah.
Stop remaking all of these movies, but give me something cool.
You know what? This is probably how our parents felt when we were in high school, too. Let's be real. It's, you know, they pandered to the younger audience for a reason. It's because they figure most of us can barely make it out our front doors and, you know, drive down the road without getting in accidents, probably. So, without hitting cats or something. So, Mindy, can you give out your podcast and website and all of that information for people?
I can, but I have some sad news. We are actually taking a hiatus from the show because of our super busy lives.
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's thedevilandmissmindy.podbean.com, or you can find it on iTunes, The Devil and Miss Mindy. My sister is actually twisting my arm, though, to get me to bring my ghost story podcast back. So there's a chance that one might come back.
Okay, cool. Well, let it keep us up to date. So yeah. I understand that you have agreed, as always, to stick around for the lightning round.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to pull Cheryl back on, and Chad's microphone is not working. Is that correct, Cheryl?
That is correct.
So, no. Chad, we can have Chad mime the answers across the roof to Cheryl if you like. Or we can just go through them, and if Chad wants to answer something, he can chat. Oh, he can hear us live, right?
I think he can.
Or is he on delay? Sure.
He might be in chat, actually, right now.
Well, then Chad's just out of it. Okay, yeah. So here we go with the lightning round. So the Huffington Post reported last week that an elephant went on a killer rampage in India, and it wiped out 17 people. When they did DNA testing after they killed this elephant, they discovered that it had human remains in its stomach.
Wow.
Yeah, brains.
That's so weird.
So here's what I want to know is if elephants have developed a taste for human flesh, what do you think is going to happen? What next is going to develop a taste for human flesh, Rick?
You know, zombies, elephants.
Are they elephant zombies, do you think?
Elephant zombies, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, Cheryl, what do you think?
I mean, an elephant ate people? Really?
Apparently so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just didn't know they did that. I'm just stuck on that. I can't even think of
a shocking story.
Wow. I mean, I can't even think of what else would outdo an elephant eating people. I'm just baffled.
Like a mouse, maybe, because, you know,
that'd be a little weird.
That's when we're asleep. So, what do you think, Mindy?
Well, my cat already has the market on eating human flesh, judging by my arm. I'm going to go with something that we will probably end up seeing on sci-fi as soon as I utter the words, and that's going to be manatee.
Oh, there it is.
The elephant of the sea.
Another painful movie put out by sci-fi.
But if they get somebody awesome from the 80s, like Debbie Gibson in it, you know,
and
it's
Tiffany.
Gonna be fun.
Yeah, yes. I know. I yes. Okay, so on Tuesday, Yahoo News reported that with a rapidly growing population, human beings are going to need to produce as much food in the next 40 years as they have in the previous 8,000. As much food in 40 years as we've done in 8,000 years, if you believe the universe is more than 6,000 years old. So, as natural resources become taxed, what I want to know is, what do you see as a good, sustainable source of food to feed all of those people, Cheryl?
Oh, me first. Okay. I was thinking maybe we should, like, mass produce soy sauce and then just live off of it when the time comes.
Very good. Yes, it might preserve people, too. No, that's... Yeah. Was that South Park, the Worcestershire sauce and embalming fluid turned them into zombies?
That's funny.
That's so funny. That's so funny you say that, because Jamie's watching South Park right now.
Oh, very good. Okay, so Rick, what do you think?
Soylent Green, our people.
Oh, see, I wasn't going to take that away from you, because I knew I knew that's where you would go.
Soylent. I love that movie.
Oh, okay, and Mindy?
Well, I make you laugh. That was my answer, too. That's immediately what I thought. I'm like, Soylent Green are people.
I know, that's exactly what I thought, too. So, New Science magazine this week reported that scientists have developed an anti-laser. It's a device that absorbs and removes light. What I want to know is, how do you think this technology should be applied, Mindy? I know, I went to you first, sorry.
I know. It removes light.
Yeah. Like in Harry Potter, the
delightening. I can tell you how it's going to work. Morning after.
What?
The morning after.
When the hair goggles are gone, pull out the anti-laser. It should be called the anti-beer goggles. So, what do you think, Rick?
For me, this is probably the most impractical thing that has ever been created. The anti-laser. Now, you're talking to a guy who grew up on Star Trek and Star Wars. We don't like anti-laser. We want lasers.
Okay, but do you think that if you can have laser hair removal, it'll put the hair back? And it'll put the cataracts back?
No. It's just so impractical. It's so stupid. Hold on a second, Cheryl. Okay. Did my tax dollars pay for that?
I don't know. I can't remember that. You'll have to look up the article. I can't remember right now. It's a New Science magazine this last month. So what do you think about the anti-laser, Cheryl?
Well, when I first read this question, of course, I thought of what you mentioned, Professor Dumbledore's little light taker away or thingy. But I'm pretty sure this...
God, you guys are a bunch of nerds.
I'm pretty sure this technology is going to be used for military purposes. I'm not sure exactly in what way, but it sounds like it's probably got that in its future.
Yeah, probably. Okay, so BBC News reports that the world has a new hottest chili. Not a red hot chili pepper, a new hottest chili. And the man who grew it tested it, and he said it was so painful that he actually considered going to the hospital because he was doubled over in pain from the thing. So what do you think the worst effect of eating such a hot chili might have on your body, Rick?
You know what? I love hot, spicy foods, but if it's as hot as he says it is, that would probably make me crap out my insides.
All righty, Cheryl.
That's just all there is.
Can you follow up crap out your insides?
I can't, and I'm just going to stay away from chili altogether. I'm going to stay away from the hot chili.
Okay, Mindy?
Well, I once ate a habanero and it made me puke, so I think I'd actually breathe fire.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Sorry, my dogs are apparently going off in the background for some reason. Probably a cat walked by the front door or something.
Is it Bigfoot maybe walking around in the forest by your house?
It could very well be Bigfoot walking around in the forest
by
the house.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. I shouldn't be on the radio talking to you people if that was the case. Okay, so io9.com reports that a heterosexual marriage activist group called Protect Marriage Maryland has argued that allowing same-sex marriage is a slippery slope because it could inevitably lead to human-android marriage, and we don't want that. That's right. So which android from pop culture would you marry, Cheryl?
Oh, my God, the leap that they have made. Wow.
I know. That
just
that
right there is just amazing. Android, I don't know, that little Wally character from the was that a Disney movie? That was so cute.
And he had lots of never mind. Rick?
Well, first off, when Jamie read the question earlier, she said that she would totally get down with Johnny Five. I would totally go with that robot chick from the Fritz Lang movie. I can't remember what it was called, but it's from like the 1920s. Do you remember what it's called,
Metropolis?
Mindy? Thank you very much. Yeah, I would totally get down with that.
Very nice. Mindy, do you have an android you'd marry?
Bender Bending Rodriguez.
Oh, that's a good
nice.
One, Mindy.
There's a party waiting to happen.
All righty. Okay. So the town of Nowata, Oklahoma experienced a 100-degree temperature change in a week. This happened this week. It went from negative 31 degrees to 75 degrees in just 7 days. So I'm convinced that this is just another sign that the end is near, and I want to know what signs you have lately observed that the end is near, Rick.
Haven't really observed anything right now, to be honest with you, because I don't believe the world's going to come to an end next year.
Alrighty.
The world will come to an end for another 5 billion years. I think
you're not fun. 5 billion. Aren't you supposed to say it like billions and billions?
I think we're okay for now, but I get it. I still am afraid of the zombie apocalypse.
Okay. All right. So you are still concerned about that. So Cheryl,
yeah.
Have you seen any signs lately that the end is near?
The whole animals just dropping dead kind of worries me. But, you know, I know that has a potential weather explanation as well. But
That's right. Okay. How about you, Mindy?
Well, I thought about that. But then I thought to myself, no, it's definitely I am number 4.
Yeah, that probably is. Exactly. The worst sign. Okay, so a man in Jacksonville caught a 70-year-old 300-pound 300 plus, it was like 370 something pounds, but I was lazy, so I wrote 300 plus pound, a gar alligator fish, which is a lake fish. And what I want to know is that do you think the animals like this gar alligator fish, which has been in this lake growing and growing for 70 years, do you think that those are the basis for lake monster sightings, Mindy?
Can you say that one more time?
I want to know if you think that these great big huge fish that people don't know about until somebody catches them. Do you think that that's causing the lake monster sightings?
It could very well be. I just know that I get creeped out by the whole thought of a gar period because I've seen what they look like and they're creepy.
They're
And I think that, or even like, because like they had the big one in England here recently, and they said it was very serpentine. So I'm thinking either big fish or big snakes, yeah. And I'm terrified.
Well, you know, I actually saw on Yahoo News this week that somebody believes that they captured a picture of one of these lake monsters. I believe it was in mm-hmm. Britain. So what was the lake monster that they think they captured, Rick? Do you remember? I don't.
It was just some giant, like, serpentine kind of thing.
It was a Nessie
stuff. And, yeah, it was sort of a Nessie kind of thing.
Yeah. So, Rick, do you think that these big fish could be an explanation?
Yes, but allow me to say with this, I do think that when it comes to seeing cryptids, that there is a chance of misidentification. I can admit to that, but... Mm-hmm. When you are walking through the forest and you see, you know, like this giant thing walk in front of you with all this hair, or you see a giant thing swim underneath your boat that's definitely not a fish, then I think you might have something real.
Okay. All right. Cheryl, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think it could be an explanation. We actually have an article in the February issue of Paranormal Underground magazine that deals with a lake monster and possible explanations. And this one... was written by Paul Botany. I hope I just pronounced that right. But he's with ZZYZX Paranormal. Anyway, he talks about Tessie, the Lake Tahoe monster cryptid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And one of the possible explanations is that it's a giant sturgeon.
Right, but, yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely think it's possible that regular or normal, whatever, fish are being misidentified.
All right, so I have my very favorite question for y'all now, and I'm really sorry, Mindy, because Cheryl and Rick...
Did you just say y'all?
I said y'all. So Cheryl and Rick have already seen it, and yeah. So I'll go to them first, just to give you a few minutes to get over your heebie-jeebies and sort of adapt. So here's the question. Reuters reported that a London ice cream shop is going to be making breast milk ice cream. They are suggesting that it is an organic free-range treat. So here's what I want to know. This product is so tempting. What would you name it, Rick?
First off, of course it's free-range. There's titties walking all over the place. Secondly, I mean, you don't get any more free range than that. No, I'm just joking. Sorry, guys. Sorry to our female listeners. It's just a joke. I don't know. That all depends with breast milk. Now, are we looking for colostrum? Are we looking for the fore milk or the after milk or whatever? It's, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I would definitely go with the colostrum because you get a lot of sugar in it as well as a lot of protein. So,
but you don't have a name for it.
I don't have a name for it, except for maybe Booby Pops.
Booby Pops. Cheryl, do you have a name for this delicious treat?
I did. I did come up with a name. I'm going to go with Titillating Vanilla Swirl.
Ooh, titillating. Nice. Woohoo! So, Mindy, you've had some time to absorb this information now.
Well, the funny thing is... I want to say in like 2007 or 2008, PETA actually wrote to Ben and Jerry's and told them they should stop using milk and start using breast milk. So wow. It's not so horrifying an idea to me because I've heard it before. But, I'm trying to come up with such a good name. I love that titillating vanilla, though. That's so creative.
I do.
I was trying to think of something with like melon, but I'm not working it.
Well, I will tell you what they are actually calling it is Baby Gaga ice cream.
Funny.
I know. Okay, so next week, Cheryl.
Yes, next week we have parapsychologist Dr. Barry Taft joining us.
And I cannot wait to talk to him. I'm going to be like an anime schoolgirl talking to this guy.
I'm going to just sit back and listen to that.
He's probably known by the majority of the people for the entity case. Well, the movie was called The Entity, but he actually was involved in that case. And so he's done so much in the field. So we're going to talk to him next week about that and see what he's up to now.
Okay. Very
good.
Yay. I know. Yay. We're so excited. Oh my gosh. We're so excited. So Mindy, thank you so much for coming on. Let us know what you're going to do with the podcast.
I will do. And thank you guys so much for having me on. It was fun as always.
Yeah, it's always a good time, and I will not waste my money or time on IM4. So stick around after the show, because we have Rob and Travis with Night Views coming up. I'm not sure what they're talking about, but anybody who can get Brad Garrett in trouble is okay in my book, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, that's right. So stick around for Night Views, and we will be back next week with Dr. Barry Depp.
Yay. I know. Have a good week, everyone.
Yeah, bye. Thank you.
Be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.